Many of the old faces are back, but a meaningful number of new ones made it into Lebanon's parliament, which now has a new balance of power. The Iranian-backed Hezbollah party and its allies lost their majority, but no other political grouping or party can claim victory. The opposition may be sizable, but not united. What is a first, however, in post-Civil War politics are the so-called reformists, who won at least 10% of the seats. These are candidates not affiliated to any of the mainly sectarian parties.
We have to be, as a king maker, because we have not, we don't have to be in the polarization. We have to create a bridge.
Those new voices will stand in the middle of longtime enemies. Tensions have already spilled onto the streets. Supporters of rival parties fought on election day. Local observers also documented attacks on their teams by supporters mostly from Shia groups, Hezbollah and Amal.
Many observers witnessed so many pressures, especially in the electoral districts of Thawth and Baalbek Hirmel, by some of parties' delegates and agents and even supporters.
The Shia groups may have preserved the 27 seats allocated to their sect, but observers say they can no longer claim sole representation.
They did everything they can to intimidate voters, candidates and their representatives in the constituencies. And at the same time, there's also an alternative Shia vote. So there's a Shia vote which went outside the box and to their opponents, and that happened for the first time in spite of their attempts to keep it contained.
Through the ballot box, there is no doubt change has begun, but the old divide, Hezbollah and its allies on one hand and the Christian Lebanese forces on the other, hasn't gone away.
Lebanon's leaders will need to work together to agree on a new government and elect a president in a few months. Political deadlock is not unusual in this fractured country, but there is an urgent need to adopt reforms and laws to rescue a collapsed economy. And a polarized parliament won't make that easy.
The divide dates back to the Civil War, which ended in 1990, after which power was divided between sects. But Lebanon's parliamentary democracy is, in reality, a consensual democracy. Unanimity is needed for the system to work and peace to be maintained.
Michelle Douahi is a university professor and a newly elected member of parliament from northern Lebanon. He joins us from Zagata. Hello there, Michelle. Thanks for being on this NewsHour. Lebanon was hoping for a new beginning, but they've ended up with more divisions in parliament. As a newly elected member, congratulations, by the way, how do you plan to provide stability for Lebanon?
Thanks for having me on the show. Obviously, this election happened while Lebanon has been experiencing and going through a major economic collapse on all sorts of levels. When I say economic collapse, obviously it's linked to political collapse, to security collapse, and so on and so forth. Public sector destroyed, private sector destroyed. Everything is not working in this country. And in these circumstances, the elections happened. The results of the elections very quickly before I just share with you our plans as reformers or newcomers to the political scene in Lebanon is that, first of all, the turnout, the average turnout was not as high as we expected. And this is a message for us. This is a message for us that Lebanese people are still finding it hard to trust their politicians, even if they are newcomers. And this is probably linked to the fact that the political life in Lebanon for the last 30 years has been, controlled and manipulated by people who have actually destroyed more than ever everything that is linked in everything that made Lebanon special. In that sense, we found it a bit hard to try to convince people to go out there and vote. Having said that, expats, Lebanese living abroad, did an amazing job by voting in big numbers for the opposition. So this is where we stand now. Obviously, our main goal is the following: to be able to legislate, to pass in laws, to stop the bleeding. This is the first thing we want to do. Second thing we want to do is actually to allow Lebanese people to have hope again, to have faith in these newcomers of the political scene. This is very, very important. It helps. this positive energy. We need to be there. We need to motivate people. We need to engage people. We need to remind them that the practice of politics can be good, that not everything linked to politics is bad, because they've seen bad practices for the last 30 years, as I said earlier. This is very, very important. But obviously, the priority, stop the bleeding, talk to the Ayatollah. We need to be able to, although this is not the job of the parliament, but we need to be informed about any negotiations happening between the Lebanese government, the IMF, Lebanese government, the EU, Lebanese government, the World Bank, and so on and so forth. So we have to be able to tell the Lebanese people what is happening. This is very, very important. When I say we want to be the voices, this is not a populist rhetoric. This is really a new practice of politics, because that will help us at some point regain the country. We will literally show the Lebanese people everything that is happening within the Lebanese political system, all the institutions. This is very, very important. So, and we need their backing at some point, but we need to get their approval. And I think that the only way to do that is to show them how serious, courageous, and people, and we are, and we have actually a plan. This is the only way out for now.
Michelle, that being said, how slowly do you think the decision making will be if alliances aren't made and there's no majority in parliament?
This is. I mean, we don't want to go into deadlocks again, because deadlocks have been a sort of part of the political life, because it's a constitutional democracy, as you mentioned in your report. We need to break that deadlock. We need to be able to legislate. People voted for us; they expect us to be mature. And when I say mature, at the parliamentarian level, it means we need to pass in laws, legislate, and this means we need to talk with other groups inside parliaments. We need to get signatures. This is part of the parliamentarian life. No one has a total majority in terms of one bloc. Having said that, when it comes to sovereignty issues, I think our group, the newcomers, I'm going to call them now. I'm sure we're going to find a name at some point. We're going to be very, very clear that this country is not going to be able to breathe again unless the army and the official security services have control and full monopoly over the weapons. It won't. Lebanon will not be able to come out of this mess without fixing that. So it's a two track thing. The economic collapse. We need to be there with the right laws, with really establishing what we call the separation of power. I mean, judiciary has to be independent. Legislative body has to do its job, and there is the executive body, the third job. And Lebanon, part of the problem is this practice. It means those three functions are, we have a fusion. So we have members of parliament who are ministers, they appoint judges, and this is why the system is not breaking. We got to be there so that the practice of democracy is healthy.
Well, you certainly have a big job ahead. We wish you all the best. Michelle Dwaihi, an elected member of parliament, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.